We are all called to be good stewards, whether that means making wise financial decisions for our families, for our parishes, or for organizations that we may advise or direct. Owning gold and silver is easy, and we're happy to be partnered with St. Joseph's, who has exclusively focused on helping families protect their wealth in gold and silver for over a decade. Their pricing is very competitive, and their dedicated retirement team was recognized last year as only one of two dealers in the nation who meet the stringent criteria of integrity, value, and dependability by an independent trust company. Take the steps today to protect your family from potential financial stress and allocate some of your hard-earned dollars to gold and silver as good stewards. Go to www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope to learn how you can protect your loved ones at this important moment in history. Again, that is www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope.
Hello and welcome back to A Reason for Hope. I'm your host, Mario Costabile, and I am super pumped to have you listening with us today. There is so much stuff going on in the world, and are you confused and a bit fearful about the issues that you're experiencing and what's going on in our church and our culture? Well, I hope this podcast will clear some things up for you. Believe me, there's hope out there. Please make sure that you subscribe and follow us right now. Go ahead, go do it. Subscribe, hit that button, and engage with us. Also, forward this link to as many people as possible, because the more people that know about us, the more people we can help. We're available on all podcast platforms. Prayerfully consider going to our donation page and supporting this work. We need your support. You can go to arrayofhope.org and navigate to our donation page. We are a 501c3 non-for-profit organization, so any and all donations are tax deductible. So welcome to A Reason for Hope, and here we go. So Joelle, how are you? Thank you for joining us here on A Reason for Hope, our podcast. How's it going over there?
It's great. Thank you for having me. Excited.
Yeah, no, you're over there in Texas?
Yes, I'm originally from New York, but I live in Texas now. Lived in LA too.
Is it Houston or Austin?
Austin, yeah.
Nice, nice and hot. Are you hot now over there?
Yeah, it's a bit much.
It's a pretty fast moving town. I love it actually over there. A lot of arts, a lot of music. Mm-hmm. Spent considerable amount of time doing some film work and music work there.
Awesome.
It's fun. So yes, you're probably wondering how do we meet, how do we hook up? And I think like social media, I just saw you and said, oh, this is, I think I might have asked you to be a friend or vice versa. I can't remember, a couple of years ago, and you always come up on my feed. I said, this is really interesting, the kind of stuff that you're doing. And I said, she would be a good guest. So our team reached out to you, and thank you for saying yes, for joining
us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Wanted to just share the faith with you a little bit. So I know that you're a devout Catholic, but were you always Catholic? Are you a cradle Catholic?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the faith and was very Catholic, but at 6 years old, I had a tragedy happen. We had a tragic house fire and we lost my sister, Maria. So after that, I still went to church, but when God didn't raise her from the dead, I was like, are you real? Do you really love me? Like, I felt left behind. I felt abandoned. And so my faith grew weaker over the years and through college. And, you know, I spent about 12 years away from the church trying to satisfy, you know, these desires in my heart through things of the world, which would never, ever fill the empty space. And
well, what was your reversion story? How did you come back to the faith? What happened?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up as an actress. I've been an actress since I was 5 years old, been on stage. So while I was like searching for God, I was hiding behind characters because I just was losing my identity, you know? And so through those shattered pieces, all those years, not knowing who I was, I ended up in Hollywood. Now it was supposed to be like my mountaintop moment where I've checked every box of everything that people said, oh yeah, if you do this, like you're successful, you're going to be happy. You know, people try to sell you happiness and true joy can only come from being connected to God. So I was just so lost, had everything, you know, two beach houses, fancy house in Austin, Italian gated courtyard, fancy cars, like you name it, I had it. I'm out in Los Angeles for a photo shoot. I'm on top of a rooftop, you know, now I own also a cosmetic company and went back into modeling because I was a model and was in the face of Jergens and like on a billboard in Times Square, like just crazy stuff. But again, like it was just emptiness because I was treated as an object. And that's a whole nother story of like photographers would talk about me as if I wasn't a person right in front of me and tell me to actually think really bad words so that that's what came through the camera to sell their products. You know, like things that I would just never say out loud. So, you know, I get to this point where really I'm smashed to pieces inside, but it looks glamorous. I'm in Hollywood on a rooftop, $4,000 dress on, Hollywood sign behind me, doing this photo shoot. And there's a moment I look in a compact mirror that I'm holding and I'm just like, who is this girl? Like completely, the inside did not match the outside. And I spent the day on Rodeo Drive. I'm hanging out with celebrities. It was like temptation after temptation. I somehow miraculously got back to my hotel room at like 2 o'clock in the morning, but I just cried the whole night on the shower floor, you know, just finally a true prayer of surrender. Lord, I need you. Like, I don't know how to fix what's going on inside because everything everyone told me was going to be enough only made me feel like I was not enough, that I didn't know who I was, that I was chasing the wrong things. And so I think it was that the grace that entered in for that first real prayer in years, not like, God, I want this, I want this, I want that, but like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you. The humility of that and just being so low to the ground, crying on the shower floor, it opened the door to grace because my grandparents had been praying the rosary for me for those 12 years that I was away from the church, like 4 rosaries a day. My grandmother was a prayer warrior, Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. And I think like whenever we're praying for someone too, we have to keep this in mind. They may seem so far lost and like it's never going to happen. Kind of that Saint Monica praying for Saint Augustine. But yes, the moment yes. their heart is open, that grace rushes in. So I returned from the photo shoot now just open to whatever God wanted. And I was in Austin in my bathroom, wide awake, walking to my closet of all places, you know, still like caught up in the things of the world. And I had, it's so difficult to explain this, and it took years to find out what it was, but it was an illumination of my soul. It was like a life review, wide awake, my whole life flashed before my eyes. I immediately dropped to the floor, like my jaw was on the ground. I was like, oh, like I didn't even know I was in sin. I saw all my sins. I saw the ripple effect of my actions. I saw, and I'm sorry, it's actually really painful to talk about. My whole story is one of mercy and it's a really awesome story. But when you see your soul and you didn't even know, like I didn't even know I was in sin. And then I was shown I had a gift of leadership and people were following me, even the way I was dressing or doing something. And they like were, I was modeling something and then they followed it and someone followed them and someone followed them. And just like the ripple effect of the things that we do in life. And then I was shown I had like this good column, which was the column to love, the column to be who I was created to be, to use the gifts and graces I had to help build the kingdom. And like, I wasn't even shown anything in it. I was shown like a line, like a, you didn't love, like there was nothing in there. Then I was shown that this good column weighed more than my worst sin. Like it would have crushed it if there was something in there. And so it freaked me out.
This was not in a dreamlike state. This was something that you experienced?
Wide awake.
It's almost like it's like a near-death experience. People claim that they see their life flash in front of them when they...
Yeah, but I wasn't on the operating table, but I've heard of that. And then so it took a couple years. It's in our catechism that we're all going to get this at our death and the second coming. We will be judged on love, St. John of the Cross says. I didn't know the scriptures. Love covers a multitude of sins. Like, so our whole calling is love. And I was shown I had it loved. And, you know, and St. Padre Pio talks about this. St. Faustina talks about it. You've probably heard the term illumination of conscience. I had no idea. Like it took me 5 months to return to the church. I read the Bible in 2 months and I'm praying like, because I was singing in another Christian church at the time. I thought I was worshiping, but it was all about me being on stage again. It was me, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't feel right anymore. Where's the temple that Jesus was listening to the teachers? And of course, they were surprised by his answers as well, you know, because he's God. But where is this temple? And nothing could really fit that description but the Catholic Church that was Christian. And wow. So, yeah, I finally, after 5 months after this experience and just a ton of soul searching, praying, reading the Bible, returned to the Catholic Church and got a spiritual director.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's an immense gift you received. I mean, how Was it at a like at a flash, or did it continue over a period of time that you were able to experience your life revealed to you? I mean, essentially, you had a blueprint of who you were, the truth of who you were. I mean, that's really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't counting the minutes or how long it took. I do remember falling to the floor with my jaw like just wide open. If I had a guess, because I tried to think about it, it maybe was possibly up to 10 minutes, could have been 7 minutes, but somewhere I was actually shown two other things as well, but I have not shared them publicly yet. So it was things that God wanted me to change in my life and to turn around. And it was an act of mercy. And you say like, oh, what a gift, you know, it is a gift, but it also is a heavy cross, you know, because once you see this and you're aware of it, you know, and I'm still a sinner, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, it feels a little heavier. I'm also tasked with telling people because I don't ever want anybody to experience what I hope everyone's soul is so much shinier than mine was. And it is really a message of mercy because this is 11 years ago and I've been full-time ministry for 7 years. So I turned my whole life around, you know, and so there's hope. There's hope.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, God had and has big plans for you. I mean, that's, I can't imagine any other reason why he would have basically had you stop, you know, in your tracks. I mean, we interviewed Leah Darrow some time ago, and she experienced similar things being a model, being an actress.
Where I've heard.
You're
exposed
to really deviant lifestyle, and you can certainly get lost in that and consider it to be the norm when it's really outside of the norm. So maybe that's where you were going down and the Lord said, hey, you know what? I've got plans for you, whether you realize it or not, and stopped you. That's amazing. That's really amazing. Yeah. So you said it took, you said several months, you got yourself a spiritual director to kind of make sense of this experience. Mm-hmm. So you changed your life around. So you started doing more Catholic-centric films, or you started doing more things that were geared toward the church, or got rid of your secular, you know, sort of professional career. Tell me a little bit about that transition.
Yeah, so it wasn't an easy decision. I wish I could tell you this happened. I turned around immediately. I did come back to the church, got a spiritual director. But after 3.5 years of discernment, there was no way like I could model and have this cosmetic company and sell the things of the world anymore, because it just felt, you know, that heaviness inside. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. So after 3.5 years discernment, I closed the doors of my cosmetic company. I was 70% owner. I gave everything away for free and walked away from $500,000, like all that I had invested in it. And, you know, and actually, I have to just tell you, the name of my cosmetic company was Cativa, which means naughty in Italian. So I was trying to say I'm making naughty nice. So really, I was like way lower than I even knew, because I had a spin on it. Oh, I'm making naughty nice. But you can't make naughty nice. It's either naughty or it's nice, you know, and makeup could be used to accentuate beauty, but to actually like lure people into, you know, and I actually had on seductive clothing in the ads and, you know, I mean, beautifully done. It looked like a Chanel photo shoot or a Gucci photo shoot, but I still like, I was in this fancy high-end lingerie trying to sell makeup. So I was just so, so lost. Yeah. I couldn't stay in that. I mean, you can't really change the messaging of the name naughty. Yeah. And to restamp all the cosmetic packaging would have cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it wasn't what God was calling me to. So I walked away from everything with no job in sight. I had made a vow, actually, that I had to renounce to never go on stage or camera again, because I thought, again, I experienced all that evil in Hollywood. I have a whole book, Master of the Pieces. You can read more about what I've experienced. I've just been in that scene since I was a little girl. I escaped a lot of situations, so I praise God. It could have been way worse. But I didn't know that you could evangelize and use media for good. I had no clue. So I said I would never do any of this. But then God had other plans. And so by surrendering my life to him through prayer, I've been in full-time ministry for 7 years. He put me into it immediately. And I ended up as like a director of confirmation. I ended up as a youth minister for 3 years. Everyone's That's like, awesome. What? Like this girl's a model and actress and she's teaching a sacrament. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm with you. This sounds crazy, but Mother Angelica says in order to do the miraculous, you have to do the ridiculous. So I just feel like I'm ridiculous, you know, but in a good way. And I think That's good. All have to, like if God calls us to step out of that comfort zone, but he called me in, after I did all of that, then he called me back into media again, very miraculously, as you know, more into acting, and I'm a TV host as well, and it's been incredible.
Another important vocation in life is marriage, which can bring forth children as a gift from God. Some of these children may have special needs, such as Down syndrome, but they also have a special purpose in God's plan. Super J and the Power of Love is an important new children's book that tells the story of Super J, a boy with Down syndrome who teaches everyone who he encounters the real meaning of unconditional love. This book helps young readers to appreciate the dignity and worth of every human being created in the image and likeness of God. Get Super J and the Power of Love at our affiliate link to the Deo Gratias Company in the show notes for this episode.
So if you're wondering how you can help this ministry, rating and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help others hear it, as well as sharing it with your friends and your family. So join us in this mission by rating, reviewing, or sharing this episode with someone you think needs to hear it. And we want to thank you for your continued support of A Reason for Hope podcast. That's amazing. Yeah. So let's go back to Cattiva. So are you Italian?
Yes, I am.
Parlo
italiano? Half Italian. Ho bisogno
italiano?
Di praticare di più.
Oh, okay. Oh, parliamo italiano dopo. Well, I think there's a point here. You know, you used a word that most people didn't understand, but most of us don't understand when we're sinning, right? So how apropos that the very name of your company was really luring people into sin.
It's just
that witness alone is very telling, right? And I think it's beautiful. I mean, that you're devoting your life to evangelization. I mean, sin draws us closer to hell, right? So it's so important that God had done this to you, because now I'm sure you're affecting thousands and thousands of lives, which I'm going to get to your Catholic professional career. So now as you transitioned into the Catholic space, I too am from the secular space. I've been involved in music and film. Okay. I hate to say over 40 years. I started when I was very young, like 5-6 years old.
The same thing.
I'm being sarcastic because it would make me 45 and I'm not 45.
Well, the only thing that we're age matters is wine and cheese. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Good. That's a good point. Very Italian sort of observation. That's good. But the point I'm saying is that, it's never too late. And, God, not only people that are professionally in evangelization or in show business, God, all of us is using us in our skills, our attributes, our gifts to share the gospel in all little ways so we can evangelize the people.
Amen.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So the reason why I brought that up is that it was a big transition for me too. It took me almost 10 years to fully, you know, you draw the line in the sand. I didn't have this big epiphany, but I had a multiple of things over the course of my lifetime that, pointed me to this is what I needed to do with the rest of my life, which was actually rooted in sin too. I was this really big sinner and I needed to change my life or else I was really definitely going to end up in hell. So I changed my life for that reason, and using my gifts and talents to glorify the church. So in doing that, it is, you shared that it is scary, right? It is, it is a big transition. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but maybe you could share the baby steps that you took to sort of, you know, cross the line in the sand, because it is a line in the sand, right? I mean, I always use that analogy. It's like it's the line that you look at and either you step over or you don't. You're not in the middle. So when you stepped over, share a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, I started in volunteer ministry. I was a retreat junkie. I loved going to retreats. I was like, oh wow, the Holy Spirit is so alive. I mean, always in us, but at retreats, especially when you take that time away. So I was doing a lot of soul searching, a ton of healing through the sacraments. I did general confessions where like I told the priest every sin that I ever committed. And you never have to repeat that, but I went back and did one more general confession because I think more stuff came up. I think sometimes when we like offload some of our stuff, then more comes to our memory. And I was like, you know, just to be sure. And so going back to the sacraments, starting daily mass, going to retreats, I started, you know, volunteer ministry. And then I started to notice how I'd be like at a retreat and I would be inspired to get up and start speaking. And I'm like, you know, it's just, I like, what is going on? And, you know, I'd be like the only participant giving a talk in the middle of a retreat that wasn't even I had nothing, no plan to say anything. And God just slowly resurrected those things. I had, you mentioned like Leah Darrow before. I had never heard of her. I've never heard of anybody sharing a testimony. Like when I grew up in the Catholic Church, we didn't talk about that. So the enemy must have saw this experience that happened to me and knew what God could do with it, because now it's been shared globally. But I had no clue. So I was also under really intense spiritual warfare, you know, which is another reason I was staying close to the sacraments, because I'm like, why is the enemy after me so much? Like, I can't be that important, you know? And the truth is, all of us are that important. If each person, what I've learned over these years of healing and ministry is I'm seeing so many gifts in other people, and it's always like fear and the lies that are holding us back from actually filling that good calling. Because the enemy, he's scared of us. He's scared of like, well, what would happen if Mario knows, or Joelle knows, or the people that are listening to this actually knows we have all different gifts. We're not all going to be in the same careers or, you know, ministries or asked to do the same things, but we all have graces. We all have gifts. We all have talents. And a lot of times the enemy is saying, oh, you're not good enough. You can't do this. And we're not offering that to the world, but I couldn't see any of that. I had no idea I was ever going to share what happened to me. I spent 2 years hiding in the pews, actually, you know, doing the volunteer ministry. I joined music ministry. I left the big band that I had auditioned for at the big Christian church. And I signed a contract. I got out of the contract. And then I'm like in music ministry, hiding behind the pillar. Like, you know, I was like, I thought humility was hiding. And then God actually eventually through healing showed me, no, like I gave you these gifts for a reason, and they're to be used for my glory. And so I had to really break those vows I made never to go on stage or camera again to see the good that God was going to do. But this was a huge process. Healing, I'm still healing. It's been 11 years till the day we die. We're still like, we have these battles that say, no, you can't do this, or you're not enough. And so that's why I wrote Master of the Pieces too, because it goes through all the broken pieces that we all have similar. We all have had betrayals and rejections and abandonments and broken dreams and things that we've experienced. And until we let God go into those pieces and heal us, we're just going to have broken relationships. And I think relationship is huge, like with everybody that we meet. If we are not exuding that we're joyful or that we love people, we're not present to them, like then we're not able to be Christ, you know? And the enemy wants us to stay depressed, filled with anxiety, filled with fear, to never leave our house. But that is not the gospel message, and that is not God's plan or dream for our life. So I know for anyone listening who is still in that state, well, that's part of the human condition, are the ups and downs, and we can't get rid of the downs, but to just grasp onto the truth of God, that he loves you and that he's with you and that you're not alone. Even when you feel like things are hopeless, he absolutely has not abandoned you. He's right there.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, God wants to heal us. And you had mentioned the sacraments, and he truly does heal through the sacraments. Those sacraments were given to us by Jesus himself, and they pack supernatural power. They pack supernatural ability to heal and to direct us and to strengthen our desire to want him even more. You share that you're a daily communicant. I too try to get to Mass as much as I can. And I find that is literally my spiritual drug. It's like I need it to get to get through the day.
Because I've never heard it called that, but I like that.
I just made that up now. It's pretty good. Hey guys, what do you think about that? I'm pretty good in there. Right? I'm improvising. It's showbiz, baby. Anyway, it is. Right, Joelle? I mean, it's like God is so good. And once we find that, once we find and immerse ourselves in his healing power, you don't want to let it go, because there's nothing better. There's nothing equivalent to that. So this is really great. You're inspiring to hear that, you know, we're all capable of changing our lives. We don't have to have this supernatural, you know, appearance or a supernatural experience. Things happen every day that we probably don't recognize or give credence to, that it's God always working in us. You know, that person, or you shared about your aunt or your parents that were praying to St. Monica, right? Well, there was
my grandparents.
Okay, well, they were praying to St. Monica and St. Augustine. Well, there are a lot of people that I know that have left the church. Well, there was a St. Ambrose, right? And St. Ambrose was actually responsible for St. Augustine coming back to the church. It was St. Ambrose that worked through St. Monica's prayers. So, you know, it's so powerful, prayer, as you shared. So tell me a little bit about, like, now that you're in evangelization, and part of it, like, that I found out about you was your work with interviewing people and getting really good stuff out of them. So you're being, now you're on the opposite, right? You're on the flip side. I'm interviewing you. But that must be fun, right? You're always interviewing these celebrities and getting a sense. And what is that experience like? Is that a point of evangelization for you as well?
Yeah, it's actually, it's a calling from God. I was a TV host years ago for ABC5, again, a fashion TV show doing late nights, you know, staying up till 5 a.m. at the party places in New York City, Sound Factory, going to Miami, Miami Fashion Week, again, misusing a gift. And I, during COVID, was like, well, I guess speaking shut down. What do I do now? And God inspired me actually to do a film on, based on my experience called Fully Known, which he was in charge of the results, blew my mind. It got 24 nominations, 4 wins. And I just want to say, like, I got 2 Best Actress nominations. No, I think 4. I won 2. And the reason I just want to share that is that people told me I wasn't good enough in my past. But I turned my life to God. I did what he said, and now I won a Best Actor. So it was really for his glory. And I love to share that for anybody who has some kind of talent, that somebody made you feel you were less than, will often get attacked at the very place that we're called. And there's a story about my TV hosting agent. He's still one of the top ones in New York City. I said I couldn't be a TV host. And now, like you said, I'm hosting a TV show. So it was during COVID. I did that film, and I ended up playing the Blessed Mother too. We could talk about that later. So it just, God is just opening doors, but this is divine providence. I completely changed my life. I didn't know anybody in the faith-based sector. I just did whatever God said every single day, trying to listen to the still small whisper. I spent hours in adoration, hours in prayer. I still do, just to make sure I stay on the right path. And it was during COVID, I was like, okay, well, I used to be a TV host. I guess I could try that, but I didn't know if I was supposed to start a show or what I was supposed to do. And I put a resume together, and my graphic designer sent me the resume on my grandmother's birthday. Now, my grandmother died during COVID, and she's in heaven, so I know she was interceding and praying. And I get a call that same day from Shalom World that says, we are praying for who should be the host of our TV show, and your name came in our prayer. Are you interested? And I was just like, oh my goodness, I just got my TV hosting resume today. I didn't even have to send it to them. But I said, absolutely, like, I knew it was from God. And I've had, you know, just the honor of interviewing Mark Wahlberg, who I met years ago in New York City. And I always wondered, you know, and that was back in my old days. He was wonderful then. He was actually a gentleman to me. But I always wondered why I met him twice. And now I'm sitting face to face interviewing him. And I was like, Mark, I don't know if you remember this, but like, we met years ago. And he's just like, wow, like God. And this was, I interviewed him in Dallas. He's like, God put us in Dallas, Texas for this interview, you know, awesome. For meeting years ago in New York City. So I truly believe in divine providence. I believe you do everything in your power that God inspires you to do. And you take those steps every day, but really the results are in his hands, you know. And I've gotten to interview people from The Chosen and recently from Sound of Freedom, which I'm just blown away, you know, what a David and Goliath story. I'm so proud of them and the movement that this is making to save the children. So
yeah, amen, amen. So, I mean, essentially, I mean, the magic word is trust, right? It's, you put all your trust in God, and you also talked about adoration, and it's so true. I mean, people say, you know, I don't hear God, or, you know, how does he speak to you? But most people are not really giving God a chance, right? And the only way to hear God is through silence. You know, scripture says, you know, he speaks to us in silence. And how do you do that? Well, you got to be quiet. You got to be silent, which is really hard. It's a discipline. As you know, you spend a lot of time in adoration. I mean, 5 minutes is a long time sitting in silence, but that's it's like any virtue, right? It takes a discipline. It takes a constant doing it over and over where it becomes normal, you know?
Yeah. And I don't want to make it sound like any of this was easy, by the way, too. Right, like to leave everything and do this. There were many days, and I talk about this in my book, where I wish I could get the tears back, where I didn't trust God, where I started to doubt or get depressed or fearful of, like, did I make the right choice? Did I make this up? Did I hear his voice? You know, and of course I had a spiritual director that kept saying, you're on the right path. And I give the priests that have helped me along the way a ton of credit, because I don't know if I had, obviously if they said it wasn't from God and don't go forward, I'd have to stop, you know, but they all were like, no, no, you have to keep going. I know this is difficult. There's been trials through the way. There's been heartbreaks. There's been, you know, anything that you would expect if you're going to do something good, you know, opposition. But the fruits of it are all that matter. And so, again, I would say, like, anytime God calls us to something, don't do it because it could be easy. I recently heard someone say something like, he might show you the vision of the ending, but he doesn't show you all the steps along the way at once. Why? Because we probably wouldn't do it. We'd be like, oh my goodness, that's too much. So I think it's just, and I spent so many hours in prayer because I was still broken. I don't think you just go from being smashed to pieces to like, you're just all better just because you surrender your life to God. No, you have to go let him slowly over time, like peeling the onion back into those places to get to that place. And so I won't say I'm 100% like, oh, like unshakable, but I will say that now it's like human opinion. If someone doesn't like me or whatever, and I did nothing but try to love them, like that doesn't bother me. What source are they connected to? Because that's not God, you know? So I've gotten so much stronger by letting him go. But did I cry along the way? Yes. Did I fear along the way? Yes. I wish I could take all those moments back because God does truly love us, even when he feels distant. And there's times where I prayed and he felt close. And there were times where I prayed and I was like, where'd you go? Did I make this up? You know? So I think that's all part of the human experience. It's all part of trying to grow in humility too, knowing that we are just not in charge if we surrender our lives. And I'm better off not to be in charge because God's plans are better than what we would even think of.
Yeah, you know, the old joke is you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, as you share, it's not easy. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. It's going to be a journey, but that journey is revealing. I almost think of like Jesus, God, as like this really sort of spiritual coach, this athlete, because he really does prepare us. He gives us the roadmap if we seek it and find it and to build upon grace. Grace builds upon grace in a way, you know, and if you follow that and trust him, the rewards are really beautiful and fulfilling and really life-giving. You're a delight. I mean, it was nice to share some time with you and hang with you. Is there anything that you want to share? I know that you spoke about that movie, Mary, My Mother. Has it aired yet on Shalom World? Because I was looking for it. I saw the trailer, which is beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Is it available yet or?
Well, Mary, My Mother was just an interview and it is available on the Shalom World website and YouTube. But another divine providence story, I was asked to play the Blessed Mother for an upcoming film. That's not out yet. And that's going to be called The New Manna.
Okay, I got that mixed up. Okay.
And actually, it's a docudrama on the Eucharist and Dr. Scott Hahn is in it.
Awesome.
Father Donald Calloway's in it. Father
awesome.
Riffinger's in it. Yeah.
Wow.
And Blessed Carlo Acutis' mom is in it. So it's like,
wow.
It's going to be incredible. It's about the Eucharist, but in the live action scenes, and we did the whole, you know, Passion of Christ. And I mean, that was really difficult. So I'm in playing the Blessed Mother in those scenes.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
But I say I prayed the role. I didn't play the role because I was scared to death. And I was like, but that was again, like, I would have never even dreamed that on my own. It was a dream that God dreamed that was bigger, you know, and I'm not done playing Mary yet, I hope, because there's so much more in my heart that I need to explore to get to know her better. So hopefully there'll be more in the future as well.
Yeah. I guess some encouragement to our viewers and our listeners. You just said God's dream is bigger for all of us, right? It's just that we all have our gifts and talents. They were implanted, you know, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're given to us at confirmation. We just have to encourage them to everyone that they exist, they're real. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before you go?
Yeah, I just want to tell everyone, don't give up. Like the worst thing you could do today or ever in your life is to give up on something that you know deep down you can do, or God obviously can do through the grace of God. And just your attacks are going to be at your gifting. Start to pay attention to that. God is speaking to you through, possibly through this podcast, you know, definitely through the scripture, definitely, you know, if you start to pay attention and go to Mass more or on Sundays and just listen, look at your circumstances around you, look at what brings you the deepest joy in the depths of your heart. And there God is. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He loves you. He's not done with you. Don't give up, because I feel like God says, don't give up on me because I haven't given up on you. And I think that's one of the most important things we could do is bless each other and know that God wants to bless us, that he believes in us. Yes, we have to believe in God, but God believes in us. He put each and every one of us on this planet for a purpose. Most importantly, the purpose to love.
Amen. That's great.
Yeah, and you could also find out more about my ministry on my website, www.joellemarin.com. And, you mentioned being Italian, and I'm actually leading a pilgrimage in Italy, March 2024. So there's details on that, as well as my book, Master of the Pieces, Being Restored, Redeemed, and Empowered by the Love of God, which you could find on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and all online major retailers.
So Mamma Mia, well, you better brush up on your Italian. we're going to have to. You better get that together.
I lived in Italy too when I was in college. I lived in Florence and Siena. So I did speak really good there, especially with a glass of wine, but I have to work on that. Yeah.
How long were you there for?
It was about 6 months that I lived there. Yeah. But I've been to Italy, I think, 3 or 4 times in Sicily. Awesome. I have a friend who had a beach house in Sicily. So.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and your endeavors. And hopefully we'll meet in person soon one day.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mario. God bless you.
You too. Peace.
So glad that you joined us today for this podcast. I want to remind you, please share this podcast with as many people as possible. The more people hear it, the more our Lord can heal and save. Stay connected by following us on your favorite social media platform at R4H Podcast. That is the letter R, the number 4, and the letter H Podcast. You could also check us out on YouTube with the same calling handles, R4H Podcast, where you can kind of see what we look like and see the video version of our podcast. So remember, in a world where things can be dark, Christ is the light, and there's always a reason for hope. This is Mario Costabile. Until next week, peace.